101.1 FM, Burnaby. On April 14th, 2025, 9 years since the province of BC declared the toxic drug crisis as a public health emergency, purple flags were planted all along Lafarge Lake in Coquitlam, BC. Each flag representing lives lost due to this toxic drug crisis in the province. For the past 3 years, the Tri-Cities community has held a memorial to honor and commemorate these lives, acknowledging the profound impact that these losses have had on the community. According to the Tri-Cities Community Action Team, this memorial in previous years was held along a busy highway, but was often lost amidst the noise of traffic, making it difficult to convey the gravity of the situation. This year, the Tri-Cities Community Action Team moved the memorial to Lafarge Lake, aiming for a quieter and more contemplative experience for those attending. CJSF attended the memorial, where we spoke with Roxanne Saxon, program coordinator of the Tri-Cities Community Action Team. The organization was at the lake from 2 to 6 p.m., where they had a table set up with educational resources regarding BC's toxic drug supply and how to act with naloxone in case of emergency.
So a big part of the Tri-Cities Community Action Team is we focus on a creative visuals, but we also do a lot of interactive education. So that could be teaching how to use naloxone, just general education around substance use and mental health. And we also do connecting resources. So we have Share With Us Today and Progressive Housing. And so that's, we like to highlight the resources within our community. So that's why we're here today.
Saxon also expressed that despite the positive response that this memorial had been receiving, the Tri-Cities Community Action Team still has concerns over how the toxic drug crisis in BC is being dealt with.
I do want to say it's really unfortunate that we're cutting a lot of the programming that's working. So we went down from, we were at 7 deaths a day a year ago, and now we're down to 5, which, yes, it's a win, but also now we're seeing cuts to like safe supply programs. We're seeing cuts to treatment programs, and we're moving into a more like involuntary treatment approach. And I think we're kind of going a little bit backwards where we should be, and we see what's working. But I think also people are kind of at a, like, they don't know what to do, and there's no cookie cutter solution. And I think what we need to see is a little more wraparound services, more places where people can go, and it meets them where they're at, their journey. Because it's not, like I said, it's not a cookie cutter solution. There's so many different layers here. Some people, it needs to be a harm reduction approach. They're going to continue using, or they need access to treatment and on their own terms. And I don't think it's fair to push anybody into that treatment.
Lastly, Saxon speaks on the importance of bringing people together when tackling issues such as the toxic drug crisis in BC.
It takes a community. We really need to come together in this, and I think that the opposite of addiction is connection, and that's one thing that we miss. There's a lot of stigma around substance use. People are going to use drugs. We know this. It's not about pushing the drugs away. It's not about getting rid of the drugs. It's about meeting people where they're at and not pushing people into isolation, bringing them back into the community and finding a sense of belonging.
This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.
This is Bird Note. Every spring, one of the most musical and complex bird songs on the continent rings forth from the sagebrush of the Columbia Basin in Washington State. The Brewer Sparrow, a migratory songbird that winters mostly in western Mexico, returns in April to the sage. Sagebrush habitat, often called shrub steppe, is a common landscape of the interior west. However, each year, more and more of it is being cleared for irrigated crops and development. The diminutive Brewer Sparrow shares its nesting habitat with other fancy singers, like the long-winded sage thrasher and the melodic Vesper Sparrow. All three of these birds are sandy brown in color, blending so seamlessly with their surroundings that only a sharp eye can pick them out. Yet even among this accomplished company, the brewer's song stands apart. While most birds offer a melody, the brewer's sparrow seems to perform an entire aria. Find all our episodes and a lot more information about birds at our website, birdnote.org. I'm Mary McCann.
Welcome back to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm Jesse. Thanks for hanging out with me this hour. You just heard Bird Note, and now we're going to keep it going with the Bird Con. We love birds here at CJSF. I love birds anyway. We are going to now hear two parts of a two-part series about Brant geese in the Oceanside area outside of Nanaimo, British Columbia, out there on Vancouver Island. So we're going to hear this from CHLY. Here we go.
This is a CHLY news update. On the shoreline of Vancouver Island, there are things you are certain to hear: crashing waves, birds chirping, and running water from nearby streams. But every week on Monday mornings, there's one sound in particular a group of volunteers would be looking for. On the day CHY joined volunteers from the Arrowsmith Naturalists, they listened for the sounds of Brant geese. These volunteers are part of the annual Brant Geese Count, where volunteers once a week survey different parts of the Parksville and Qualcomm Beach shoreline to observe and count the number of Brant geese. The black brant is a small sea goose which breeds in the Arctic and usually spends the winter in the Mexican state of Baja California. During their migration from Mexico to the Arctic, the geese are known to spend time on the west coast of Canada, where they rest and feed on the local eel grass. The brant count runs from the start of the bird's migrating season around the end of February until the last goose is counted for, which can last until May. Rain or shine, around 30 volunteers head out in groups to different areas to count the brant. CHY spent the day with volunteers going to select locations to search for the geese. Group 2 consisted of Tony Wyquiff, Linda Horsepool, and Liz and Jim Thorne. They overlooked the central part of the Oceanside area, which is usually the most popular location for the brant. The first stop for Group 2 was at the French Creek Marina, where the French Creek meets the ocean.
How long do you normally stay in the one area?
It depends on what we're seeing. You know, 10 minutes maybe. Sometimes it's only 5 minutes if there's nothing there. You know, it's just trying to observe everything that's flying in, moving around.
Tony Wyquiff is one of the volunteers in charge of noting the total brant observed. Along with the brants, the group notes the total number for all other types of birds they observe in the area.
Yeah, I got the oyster catcher and the widgeons. How many widgeon did you think? 25, did you say?
No, there's more.
Okay.
There's actually more, like 45.
And the bufflehead, I didn't see too many of those, but...
Yeah, I only saw two.
Okay.
No brants were seen at the marina, but the volunteers were not worried, as the next destination tends to be where the birds hang out.
How many brant would you say you see in an average day?
In an average day at the height, when we get to the next try-on pool, there's been 2,000 in there.
Wow.
Yeah, and the last time I was there, I saw about 1,500. So it's hard to say. They spend about 3 weeks feeding, and then they fly. So then we'll constantly get more brant coming in from the south as they feed on the way up.
So in this area, might not...
You're not going to get as much in French Creek, no.
Next up was Columbia Beach, a usually popular spot for the brant to rest at. Last week, the group saw several thousand geese, but this week, the group was not so lucky.
It should be where all the brant are.
Perfect.
But you never know. Huh? Oh!
Nope.
While Linda Horsepool and Liz Thorne use their scopes to view birds floating far out on the ocean, Jim Thorne used a far-distant zoom lens to capture images of the geese flying at a distance.
Why do you think there were so many brant last week, but none in this location this week. Is this one of those untold bird things that you just never know?
Yeah.
You don't know which part of the where they're going to show up. Mm-hmm. The next beach we go to, there could be hundreds. Or maybe they're seeing hundreds down at Raft Trevor.
Yeah.
Or up.
Yeah, it depends on the feeding too, and the water conditions. You know, they're gonna go where it's the easiest.
This is a red-breasted.
Food.
Look through the viewfinder.
Just depends where the.
Oh yeah.
They like eelgrass.
Yeah, I love.
They like it better if it's all covered with herring spawn. But you know, they also like places where they can just sit and soak up the sun. So. Here they were in the pond. They were all preening. Like, they weren't feeding, they weren't sleeping, they were all preening. It was just really interesting.
Does that mean they were just like hanging out?
No, preening, they're organizing their feathers, basically having a bath.
Oh, cool.
The group hung out while surveying the other local birds until something was spotted in the sky.
Yeah, I would say that, yeah. Yeah, because
but it really is.
What's flying?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Yeah, eight brant flying, but they probably will be going to where we're going.
There. 12, 14, 18, 30. No, there's about 30 in that.
How did you recognize them just by the body shape?
Yeah. You can really tell. Fair. And they have a white bum, too, so.
And also they fly
brant.
Like, scoters, they're just barely above water level. Mm-hmm. And they're the other ones that fly the most besides. And gulls do all this kind of stuff. But, yeah, the
flock of brant geese quickly flew past the group, going north towards Alaska. The group continued on to other locations that were usually hot spots for the geese. But the group was again met with a lackluster sight.
Hey, Brant?
Not a thing. Crow. 1 year I've seen about 1,500 in here, too.
Wow.
It was just incredible. The tide was up a lot farther.
How long have you been doing the count for?
I can't even remember. It's over 10 years, I think. But every year is different.
Where do you think those 30 we saw earlier disappeared to?
They might be out in the middle. Mm. They might have gone out somewhere out there. Although feeding, they would be closer to shore because they eat. They feed on the eelgrass.
In your opinion, what do you think is causing the brant geese to not come to like sort of the Parksville, Qualcomm area as much?
Loss of habitat.
Mm-hmm.
You can nail it down to that just about every single time. They get feed on eelgrass, which lives in estuaries. We like to develop estuaries. This area is doing a lot of trying to restore estuaries, but it's a long, slow process. So,
you nailed it.
Lots of wetlands, yeah. You know, we fill it in. We want to build on it because it's nice and flat. And then they have no place to go, so they die.
At the end of the outing, the group counted a total of 77 brant geese, while hearing that the other surveying groups were counting brants into the thousands in usually less popular spots.
So how many have we actually seen brant?
Brant?
60?
Okay, there's 77.
77,
okay.
Yeah.
In dribs and drabs.
And
yeah.
All of them airborne, not
yes.
Not one on the beach.
Yeah. All of them, yeah.
And all going north.
As the group said their goodbyes, they made plans to see each other at next week's count, guessing how many brant would be making an appearance on the Pacific shorelines then. To learn more about the brant geese count and the Aerosmith naturalists, see their website at aerosmithnats.org. For CHY News, this is Laura McKenzie.
This report was made with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and listeners like you. You can find more news updates, interviews, and stories from our nonprofit newsroom, as well as our news and current affairs podcast, Midcoast Morning, at chly.ca/news.
Hi, my name is Taku. I want to say shout out to all the raccoons on campus. You're listening to CGSF 90.1 FM on Burnaby.
Is a CHY News update. Every spring, the Oceanside area gets visited by traveling birds stopping off on the coast of Vancouver Island to rest their wings. While mainly using the coastal shores as a pit stop during their migration, the feathered fowl are a landmark for the area. The black brant is a small sea goose which breeds in the Arctic and usually spends the winter in the Mexican state of Baja California. During their migration from Mexico to the Arctic, the geese are known to spend time on the west coast of Canada, where they rest and feed on the local eelgrass. To survey the number of brant geese that visit the area, volunteers take part in the annual brant geese count. These volunteers once a week survey different parts of the Parksville and Qualcomm Beach shoreline to observe and count the number of brant geese. The brant geese count runs from the start of the bird's migrating season around the end of February until the last goose is counted for, which can last until May. CHY spent the day with volunteers going to select locations to search for the geese. Then, after, met with Liz Bredberg, who's the director of the Brant Geese Count. Bredberg started volunteering and directing the Brant Count 3 years ago after moving to Parksville. That day, Bredberg's group surveyed Raft Trevor Provincial Park, where they saw over 1,000 brant. She says she had a long interest in birds and bird watching since she was a little girl.
I actually was even interested in birds when I was a kid. because somewhere in amongst all of the stuff from my childhood, there's a paper, an essay I wrote for, must have been junior high school, called Life in a Bird Sanctuary. And it was not a bird sanctuary. It was my folks' place, and they had lots of trees with berries and stuff in them. And I would always go out and watch them and see what they were up to and count them. And then I wrote about it. So evidently I was interested even then.
She points out that the brant had become such a well-known bird in the area that every year since the 90s, Parksville has hosted the Brant Wildlife Festival, celebrating the bird and highlighting the other biodiversity in the area. Even before moving to Parksville and taking part in the count, Redberg would travel from Vancouver to attend the festival every year. Redberg says about 30 people volunteer with the count. She says many of the volunteers are bird watchers, and the brant geese migration happens the same time as a herring spawn, leading to birds of all types flocking to the coastal shores around the time the count happens.
So it's a really interesting time for observing all manner of natural things. You know, we get the herring spawn, we get all of those sea lions, we get an assortment of birds. Eagles are terrifically happy with the whole thing. It's hard to know whether an eagle's happy. don't judge their expressions too much, but they really do chow down very thoroughly.
While this year's count isn't finalized, Redberg says the numbers have been wonderful. She says she hopes to finish off this year with a count extra high. Last year, the group counted over 6,000 brant geese. While the number of geese is on the rise after the count dipped below 4,000 in 2022 and 2023, Redberg says there's no consistency in the dip or rise that the numbers have. She says there's no proper understanding why some years there are more geese or why there are fewer.
So we've got a count here of last year of being about 6,000 total throughout the time that they were recording the migration. And, of course, there are problems in that. And they are, do the brant stick around? Do they move on? Is this the same bunch that we counted last week? And if so, what does that tell us? It doesn't tell us much about volumes if they're just all hanging around. If they're moving through, well, then you got a sense of the number that are moving through.
One idea for why the geese might be hanging around more this year is in the recent rise in herring spawning on the coast. While the brants are primarily vegetarian and don't eat herring, Redberg explains that the geese like to eat the eelgrass that the herrings have laid eggs on, giving the brant extra nutrition. But loss of habitat is still a key factor in the decrease of the geese. She also says disturbances from dogs during the migration season are big parts of why geese might not want to land in the Parksville area.
And there are signs all over the place that say dogs must not even be on the beach at this time of year. We had three of them out there yesterday in our area. And it's very hard to address that problem. Some people say, oh, I didn't know. Other people tell you to bleep off. So, you know, it's my dog and you don't like dogs and that's just stupid. No, that's not what it's about.
According to the city of Parksville, all Parksville beaches within the Parksville-Qualcomm Beach Wildlife Management Area are closed to all dogs from March 1st to April 30th, as well from February 15th to April 30th at Raft River Beach Provincial Park.
The problem is that dogs look to brant a good deal like Arctic foxes. Has someone told you this yet?
No.
Okay, well, this is a problem. The area where the brant nest have Arctic foxes, and Arctic foxes like to prey on brant nests. They eat the eggs, they eat the chicks, they eat the brant. So the brant are terrified of anything that looks like an Arctic fox. So if you're walking a dog along the beach, the brant look at it and go, oh my God, and they fly off. And if they're not well fed yet, that terror flight burns an awful lot of energy and they may not survive.
Since she has started volunteering with the brant count, Redberg admits while it sounds silly, she has really bonded with the birds.
Last week, there was a very high tide, and all of the brant were in really close. They were like from here to that wall. It was an amazing experience to watch them and film them. I was blown away. And I was just doing it for fun. It wasn't any formal count or anything. I just thought, oh, let's go see what the brant are up to. And there they all were. And it's a thrill.
To learn more about the Brant Geese Count and the Arrowsmith Naturalist, see their website at arrowsmithnats.org. For CHY News, this is Laura McKenzie.
This report was made with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and listeners like you. You can find more news updates, interviews, and stories from our nonprofit newsroom, as well as our news and current affairs podcast, Midcoast Morning, at chly.ca/news.
Welcome back to Speak Up one final time this hour. Thanks for hanging out with me, Jesse. Hope you enjoyed that goose talk as much as I did. In between the two segments, we had new music from Empanadas Ilegales. That was John Cletazo from the upcoming record Sancocho Trifásico, which comes out June 6th. Very excited. And now to end the show, a little bit more local music. This is from local punk rockers Pet Blessings. Democracy Now! Is up next. I will see you next week. Have a good long weekend.
Gross. You're just some side guy working on your pink slides. What the fuck is even the point of you? Step aside, make some room. You know, I know, they know you're no good. That's right. Fucking face me. You know, I know, they know you're no good. Coward, you're the worst kind. You know, I know, they know you're no good.
The Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, SVSPO, offers confidential support, advice, and referrals to SFU and FIC community members, including students, staff, and faculty, who have been impacted by sexual violence and misconduct. The SVSPO is a welcoming place where you can access support without judgment or assumptions. We work from a survivor-centered perspective, using an empowerment and trauma-informed approach that considers individual situations and perspectives. Please reach out. Services are located at the Diamond Alumni Center, room 014 on the lower level. Please reach out by email at sb-support@sfu.ca. That was sb-support@sfu.ca.